I want to welcome you all tonight. We're going to see how simple the resentment inventory is, and it may save your life. Just a couple things. Saturday, we're going to be reading on page 85 about the important warning about alcohol and what we must do every day, and how we stay sober one day at a time. And those are the instructions. The last 2 weeks we covered just what you do all during the day on step 10, and then last week we did the recovered promises. On Sunday night we covered Bill's story where Bill moved from darkness into the light, and he took the steps, and this Sunday we're going to see what happened to him in the hospital, how this man changed, who was self-centered, dying of alcoholism, and then what happened within a short period of time. And then the reason that we're here today is what happened to him, the powerful spiritual experience he had, which drove him to help others, find Dr. Bob, find others, be here tonight. So we owe a lot to the people who came before us. Hopefully we're doing the same thing to the people today, and we're continuing this, carrying the message. Tonight we're on step four. We have spent one meeting looking at the introduction to step four, what it's all about, why we do it, what's its purpose. Then last week I talked about the spiritual disease. What is the spiritual malady? What does it look like? And what do we inventory in step four? And then we got to, I'm just going to read the bottom paragraph, and we covered the few lines, and then we're going to look at the instructions on resentment in the big book. We're going to look at the specific directions they gave. Now, if you go on the internet, you Google four-step resentment, you'll get probably 100 different workbooks and all sorts of stuff. But that may be good. I don't have an opinion. I just know that what works for me and what works for them is what they wrote in these four pages. I think it's only four pages on anger, to be free of anger. Anybody want to be free of anger?
Yeah.
I suggest it. Now, you're never going to not get angry, but you want to be free of anger's power over you. And we're going to learn about that. So it says, we're going to look at how my self-centeredness defeated me. Anybody defeated by self?
Yeah.
Good, good. A few people are awake. I tend to put them to sleep, those listening on the podcast. We're going to look at the common manifestations of self. We look at three things in step four. We look at resentment, which is anger. We look at fear, and we look at how we've harmed people in relationships, especially sex relationships, intimate relationships. And it says resentment is the number one offender. I talked about what that means. It's offending our relationship with God. It's blocks us from God. It's the opposite of love. You can't love and be angry at the same time. It causes the spiritual disease to be active. And it makes me irritable, restless, and discontent, and it causes me to drink. It says it destroys more alcoholics than anything else. They don't say it may destroy more alcoholics. It does destroy more alcoholics than anything else. From it stem all forms of spiritual disease. I talked about what it is. It's dis-ease with the spirit, dis-ease with God, not at ease with God, no relationship with God, separated from God. And when you're separated from God, then your mind and your body are ill, because you're physically ill because, one, you can't control how much you drink when you take it in. Two, you're physically ill because you've had harmful relationships with the world. You've been fighting everybody and everything. Anybody do that? And you're mentally ill because you believe what you think. You act on your thoughts. You believe your anger and your fears are real. And you believe you can drink. Anybody do that? You must have, because you drank, and then you had the allergy of the body, and then you swore you'd never drink again, and then guess what? You drank again. And so you can straighten that out if you straighten out your spiritual disease, then you'll have a new way of living. Your mind won't have to bring into the alcohol to fix how you feel, and you'll have improved relationships with the world, and you won't have to worry about your allergy to alcohol because you're not drinking. The allergy to alcohol actually doesn't occur until you drink alcohol. I just want to clarify that, okay? It says in dealing with resentment, now a lot of people talk about what is resentment, and people say I don't have any resentments, and we had a famous Wednesday night meeting where somebody said they don't get angry and pounded the table and stormed out. It was quite a moment. I wish I had taped that meeting, but and they weren't angry, they don't get angry, and they pounded the table and stormed out. Anyway, God bless him, he's sober. He's sober 8 years now, I think 6 or 7 years now, and he's helped me a lot. But it says, resentment to me is any negative feeling I hold for somebody, any judgment I have of somebody. Now, the big resentments are the ones that the people that I've been angry at for a long time, or I've been afraid of, or I get very negative emotions when I think about them. And they take a lot of drama in my head. Anybody have drama in their head? And so these are the people who've had drama in your head when you think about them. Now, you don't think about them all the time, so somebody will say, oh, well, I don't think about them, so I don't have a resentment. But if you think about them, you get the drama back. And it's any anger that lasts, you could say 10 seconds, a minute, it's whatever you want. I used to allow 10 minutes, then 5, then 4. Now I don't want to be angry more than 30 seconds, but it's still, sometimes it gets longer. Remember, anger is a choice. We're going to learn that. We don't have to stay angry. So resentments are negative emotions which have dominated our lives, people that we're very upset with, or even little things. Now, it could be today that, you know, somebody may, I like to do the waiting in line at the food store. Anybody ever have that issue? With the coupons, and they have 50 items, and then the 12-item lane, and this and that. Well, you're angry. You're angry at these people for getting in your way. You're so important. I'm Michael the Magnificent. They shouldn't make me wait. They closed the 29th Street exit. How could they do that? Don't they know that's the way I like to go home? You know, I mean, really. And you see, it can be little things like that that lead to bigger things. Because a little anger is like alcoholics pole vault over mouse turds. And the mouse turds build up. And then they dominate our lives. Because when I'm thinking about the exit, I'm not thinking about God, am I? I'm not thinking about serving other people. I'm thinking about me. I'm self-centered. And then the big resentments are the ones that dominate our lives. And until we see the truth about them, we can't be free to have God direct our lives. The purpose of the fourth step is not to get smart. The purpose of the fourth step is to learn what you've been wrong about and how your resentments were wrong. They weren't even true most of the time. And it's the way you see things, and so that you can have God direct your thinking. And you're going to learn tools in these four pages that I use all the time. And we're going to learn the prayers to be free of anger. And when you've done this a long time, and you start judging and getting disturbed, you don't want to have to go through the columns in your head, and you don't want to say the four prayers. So you say, it's just the way they are. It just is the way it is, and you don't get disturbed. It's an amazing gift, these four pages. And so you're learning, if you're new, you're learning the tools so you can do this the rest of your life. A lot of people worry that they're doing it right, they're doing a great four step. Just do it. God will reveal whatever you need revealed, and then you're going to do it the rest of your life. I'm doing four steps all the time when I work with people. I see more things wrong with me. It's sad. I mean, you don't forget, you don't remember all the crap you did. And the longer you're sober, you remember more crap, right, Ed? Yep. Yeah, and then you say, wow, why'd I do that? So then anyway, it says for resentments, you put them on paper. This is not a mental list. I have a lot of people want to do it in their mind. They've thought it through. Your mind is sick. You can't fix it. You have to take the stuff out of your mind and put it on paper so you can't change it. And then you're going to look at it once it's on paper. And I believe once you get it out of your mind, you start getting free from it. Because when you put it on paper, you can see it. And it doesn't tell you what kind of paper, does it? Anybody see it? No. It doesn't tell you what kind of pen. So you can use any kind of paper and any kind of pen. And then it says, you listed people, institution, or principles with whom we were angry. It's anybody with whom you were angry at, any institution or principles. Now, what are some institutions? Some people don't like AA. Some people don't like the IRS. Some people don't like the Republican Party. Some people don't like the Democratic Party. Some people don't like the American government or this and that. There are a lot of institutions. Police department. You know, why'd they arrest me? I was only going 90. You know, why did they let me go? You know, and principles are, some people don't like to pay alimony, right? Some people don't want to have to do the Ten Commandments. Some people don't like certain principles. And the people are really, if you don't know who you're resentful at, here's what I suggest. You start with anybody you ever married or had a relationship with. All of your relatives. So you look at all your relatives and see which ones give you a negative feeling. And all the relationships you had. Anybody you ever worked with. Anybody you ever went to school with. You get it, the picture? And you'll start seeing all these names. You'll say, wow, yeah. And then you'll see your anger. Now, the purpose of this is not for you to have more resentments than the other person. I mean, I had all sorts of them. You know, I didn't like North Carolina. Somebody's probably listening, and they're in North Carolina. But, you know, I went to Duke, so I didn't like Roy Williams. So I didn't like seeing him on TV and smiling, and especially when they were winning. So, I mean, it sounds silly, but I had a lot of silly resentments in my life. But I had some really big ones, too. And if you go through that list, you're going to see people that bothered you and people that you didn't like or people that upset you in some ways. And then you're going to ask yourselves why we were angry. Now, this is called the second column. Whom we were angry and why we were angry. What did they actually do? And here's the important thing. Keep it short. And write down what you thought they actually did, because when you look at it with someone else, you're going to see that a lot of times they didn't even do what you thought they did. It was a distortion of the truth to make us look good. And so that's the second column. Now, that's very complicated, isn't it? You make a list of names, and then you ask yourselves why you were angry. Now, the reason why people don't like to do the four-step out of the big book is it's too simple. If you're having a treatment center, it wouldn't take you 2 months to do this. You know, it's like, hello, this is the columns, this is what you do. And so, why you were angry. Now, here's the key, is the third column that most people don't realize. I didn't even understand it. I didn't know where my anger came from. Anybody here judge a lot in their whole lives? Anybody bothered a lot, get a lot of anger or negative feelings about a lot of people who, you know. I didn't understand that it wasn't anything to do with them, it was to do with me. I was threatened. I had fear towards the people that angered me. And I was threatened. They threatened me, they threatened myself, they threatened my self-esteem. Now, we talk about self-esteem, right? And I looked it up, and it doesn't have to be a bad thing. But alcoholics have a problem with, it's called self-regard, how we regard ourselves. And how do you feel about yourself? Now, what I see that was wrong with my self-esteem is, one, it was dependent on other people and what they thought of me. It was depending on how I looked to the world. And when I did that, that made that my higher power. You know, did I have a big enough house? Did I have enough degrees? You know, was my wife pretty enough? Blah, 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 blah. And that self-esteem is a false sense of self. And it's dependent on other things and other people and outside things. And whenever you do that, you're never going to feel okay. And you're going to feel threatened a lot. Like, I used to get upset at people who I thought were actually better than me because they made me feel threatened because I thought they were really, you know, they're better than me, so I'm going to get angry at them. I don't know if that makes any sense. But our self-esteem gets threatened a lot. And in fact, we get our self-esteem gets threatened with people, we don't even know what they're thinking. We don't think they like us, so that we don't think they approve of us, so we're angry at them. We don't even know. Am I the only one? Does this make sense? And so I was constantly getting threatened because I was depending on the world to feel okay. So you wake up in the morning and who's going to threaten your self-esteem all day long? It could be so many different things. So that's what they mean by that. Now your pocketbook is your money. Now everybody knows what your money is. So anybody that threatens your money, your job, how much you're going to have, you get angry. You get afraid. Your ambitions, what you think you need to make yourself feel good. You see how the self-esteem works? Because you have ambitions to feel good. Our ambitions were not how we can make save the world and help other people. They were how we could get what we wanted to be happy. And I have that chart here on self, the instincts of life, and that's what we're looking at, how they were out of control. And so they were my ambitions. They were the script I wrote to wrest happiness and satisfaction out of life. And it was a delusion. So these ambitions, if anybody threatened how what I needed, I thought I needed to be happy and rest satisfaction, I got angry at them. And why? Because I was afraid. I wasn't good enough with my self-esteem. So my self-esteem was really wanting approval, wanting to be loved, wanting to get the outside world to tell Michael I was okay. And that started long before I ever took a first drink. In fact, taking a drink fixed that. It made me feel okay. And so that's why it has such power on us. Our personal relationships, including sex, anything that threatens our personal relationships, we get upset with. And it says, so we listed, we found that our self-esteem, our pocketbooks, our ambitions, our personal relationships were hurt or threatened. I didn't know that. I didn't know that until I actually studied the big book, listened to Joe and Charlie. Now, hurt or threatened has to do with my pride. And pride isn't listed there, but it's listed in the examples. And pride, I looked it up. Now, pride is, can be good, right? The Marines are proud. You're part of a group. You're proud of your group. But what I found was a quality of having an excessively high opinion of oneself or one's importance. I don't think there are any words to describe how important I thought I was. Anybody else get that? We're so important, we don't even see it, that we're threatened all the time. Our pride is threatened all the time, and the pride and self-esteem go together. So you could say in the morning, I'm not going to get upset today. I'm going to be a great person. I'm going to be Mr. Lovey-Dovey. You get in the car, you're at work, within 2 hours you're upset, people are bothering you. You can't help it, because your pride and your self-esteem are out of control. And so we're always threatened. We always see, people as threatening us. I think Jimmy said, you look at people, what you're going to get out of them or what they're going to take from you. You said it really well the other day. And so that's how we go around. We go around with this camera where we're recording events to see who's threatening me. And so a resentment, Joe and Charlie says, is where you have the camera and at 10 in the morning, this person at work really irritates you or bothers you or something. You're angry at them. You're upset. Now, the day goes on, but you still are replaying that in your head. And you could be replaying it at 7:30 at night. And you've missed the whole day. And it's like the NFL replay. And then here's the other thing. By the time you get to 7:30 at night, you have made them into about the most miserable human being that has ever lived. They are just a monster, and they should be executed. And this could have been like somebody just looking at you wrong at 10 o'clock, but alcoholics get things very distorted. Now, I may be over exaggerating it, but it's very dangerous the way we are with our alcoholic self-centered personality. We don't want to live like that anymore. And so our pride is damaging to us. And then with our pride is fear. And I think it says in the 12 and 12, that every alcoholic carries this coin. And on the coin it says pride, and the other side it says fear. It's the ruinous coin, our whole life. See, because we're so proud, we're always threatened. And then we're afraid. And so we're never okay. Because if we're angry or fearful, we're not in the now with God. So it says on our, and we were burned up. Anybody burned up? Anybody sore? Now here's the other thing they don't get into right now. We were always right. our judgments were always correct. We never questioned that. On our grudge list, we set opposite each name our injuries. So these are how we're injured, hurt, or threatened. It's very important that you see it when you do your list, because you're gonna recognize that whenever you're angry now, one of your instincts of life is out of control, is being threatened. And you don't have to actually say which one it is. It's always your self-esteem and pride. You know if it's your money, you know if it's your ambitions, your sex life. It's not complicated. And so when you're self-centered and you're not God-centered, you're going to be threatened. So the key is to get out of being self-centered to God-centered, and then you're not threatened. Because Joe and Charlie made the point when I first listened to him that if you're God-centered, nobody can threaten you. You can't be threatened. You just see him as a child of God. You're loving. You're practicing patience, kindness, tolerance. And people don't bother you. So the same event can happen. And if you're God-centered, you won't think anything of it. And if you're self-centered, it becomes a crisis. In fact, I saw something in the book I was looking at. And I don't know who, it says, trouble doesn't come to me, but from me. What do you think of that? And it says, if you're not broken, you can't be fixed. And then I wrote, believing is receiving. And I just wrote that I don't know, I've had this book for a while. But I thought those are three truths that relate to what we're talking about tonight. Now on our grudge list, we set opposite each name our injuries, how they injured us, how they threatened us. Was it our self-esteem, our security, ambitions, our personal or sex relations which had been interfered with? And then I wrote this today, it's the first time I saw this. What we really have is a sign that we carry, and it says, don't mess with me. Anybody get that? Don't mess with me. You know, I'm in charge here. Don't mess with me. And so we are setting ourselves up to be angry. Now, nobody did that but me. So we're going to decide to change the way we are so we don't have to get angry all the time. And once you start working the steps, and Ed always says this, you feel good working the steps, so you want to keep doing it so you're not disturbed. So my goal each day has nothing to do with drinking. It's not getting disturbed. It's being okay. It's being loving and kind, patient, tolerant. It's not getting angry or afraid. I don't want to spend any more time in my life being afraid. I spent my whole life being afraid. It's a complete waste of time. So if I get any kind of fear, I immediately say, God, it's a waste of time. Take it away. I don't want to pay any attention to it. If I start getting angry or somebody bothers me, I say, it's ridiculous. They are who they are. They're a child of God. I'm going to move on. I don't want to allow any of that to bother me. And you can actually do that most of the time. I don't do it perfectly, but I'm a lot better than I was. So they give you, that's not very complicated, isn't it? One, whom you're angry, why you're angry, and then you list whether it was your self-esteem, pocketbook, ambition, and if you don't know, it's always your self-esteem and your pride. So here's the examples, and I think these are really good. It says, I'm resentful at Mr. Brown. Now, I love this one. This may be the best thing ever written in the big book. You're sitting there at the meeting. It's a discussion meeting. And you say, I'm really angry at Mr. Brown today. He's paying attention to my wife. He told my wife of my mistress. He may get my job at the office. And everybody go, gee, he's a son of a bitch. You know, that Mr. Brown. We should execute him. You're right. You should be angry at him. Now, that's not going to do you any good. And then it affects your sex life, your self-esteem, you're afraid. You're going to lose your job, your ambition, your security, your sex relationships. Now, what do you learn from this? Just this one example is that he sees all these things. But what's really the truth of the situation? Is that he's an alcoholic? He has a mistress? He's not showing up at work? Hello? And Mr. Brown may get his job because he's not there. He told my wife of my mistress, which is true, because you had one. And he's paying attention to my wife because I'm never home. And in fact, we don't even know if he is. You see what I'm saying? And you see how this is a great example of how doing the four-step, you see Mr. Brown differently. He's not that bad. He didn't cause this resentment. I did, my behavior, my character. Now, we're not in that. That's the fourth column. But it's a great example of how our mind, how we see things and they're not right. And we don't see our role in it. We don't see our mistakes. So it says, we went back through our lives, nothing counted but thoroughness and honesty. When we finished, we considered it carefully. So you're going to do three columns and consider it carefully, okay? If you don't do the three columns, you can't consider it carefully. You get the hit? It's apparent that this world and its people were often quite wrong. To conclude, and that's true, but who decided they were wrong? I did. And were they really wrong? See, that's the truth. What's the truth of the situation? To conclude that others was wrong as far as we ever got. They were wrong, right? We were right. And how does that work for you? You're disturbed. And so the usual outcome was that people continued to wrong us, and I wrote in my mind, and I stayed sore. Sometimes it was remorse, and then we were sore at ourselves, but the more we fought and tried to have our own way, anybody fight, tried to have their own way, the worse matters got. We make it worse. Anybody send an email in anger? You know, before email, you know, before email and cell phones, alcoholics had less chaos in their lives. It wasn't as easy. You couldn't piss people off as easily. Now we can really piss them off. And we can click it and say, show that. Brian's not here, but he used to love to send those emails on Friday afternoon, he says. Friday afternoon at 4:30, he'd send all these hateful emails to all these other attorneys. And he just loved it. And then he'd get drunk all weekend. As far as it were, the victor only seemed to win. Our moments of triumph was short-lived. And what is a triumph? What are they talking about? We're trying to feel good through negative feelings to other people. We're trying to be right. We're trying to get our way. And then I'm going to cover these next two paragraphs next week, but I'm just going to read them so we have time. It says, it's a plain that a life which includes deep resentment leads only to futility and unhappiness. Anybody agree with that? To the precise extent that we permit these, do we squander the hours that might have been worthwhile? We wasted our lives. And who permitted them? Who permits these? We do. But with the alcoholic whose hope is the maintenance and growth of a spiritual experience, does anybody want that? Well, you better, because it says you're going to die unless you have a spiritual experience. This is the disease that only a spiritual experience can conquer. The business of resentment is infinitely grave. Is that bad? Is infinitely grave bad? Anybody have any doubt about that? Well, if you don't, the next line says, we found that it's fatal. You're going to die from this. This is what kills us. It kills us spiritually. And when you're dead spiritually, you can't have any kind of emotional sobriety or life. And then we drink over it. Because it says, when we harbor such feelings, I shut myself off from the sunlight of the Spirit, which is God. The sanity of alcohol returns, and we drink again, and with us to drink is to die. And then we're going to go over that next week in detail. If we were to live, we had to be free of anger. Anybody think that's good? Yeah. It doesn't say you don't get anger. You have to be free of it. You don't want it to have power over you. Now, I got that book back. It says anger is a choice. You can't make me angry. And that's by Dr. Paul. And you can get it on Amazon. The grouch and the brainstorm were not for us. They may be the dubious luxury normal man. But for alcoholics, this is poison. And I'm going to end with that. And it's somebody said, if you have resentment, you're drinking poison hoping they'll die. Does that make any sense? Why did we do that? Well, we were really sick. So we're going to pick up with that. We're going to cover those two paragraphs and then pick up with how we get free of anger next week. So I hope this was helpful, and I'll thank you.